I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Lutz with me. I'm Bob Lutz, the main host.
869-1240
is the phone number. Jeff busy watching his Guardians attempt a sixth-inning rally to overcome the Minnesota Twins and wrap up a playoff spot in the American League. How are things going today? Your schizophrenic view of the Guardians, where are you today?
I don't know if it's schizophrenic. I just want to get this business taken care of. I want a fly ball right here and not a terrible swing and get a run in, and let's move it along. And
well, you just chased the ball 6 feet high, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Rocchio got the game-winning hit last night. He's trying to be a little bit of a hero again.
You do what you got to do in this game. Am I right?
You do what you got to do in this game. You couldn't be more right. What an apt description.
Pretty vague, but you get it.
I sure do.
So here's what we have for you on the show today. Let's just jump right into it. Tyson Barley from Heston. They're off to a 2-0 start. And Tyson Barley extremely enthused about being on our show today. Yeah.
Is he the coach?
He is the head coach. Well, Matt Tate will join us. We'll talk some Kansas football with somebody who's been covering it for quite some time.
Well, we better block out hour number two for that one.
Yeah, he likes to talk, but that's okay.
That is okay. We love it.
Matt Tate from Wave the Wheat. So we'll get Matt Tate's thoughts on where the Jays are as they head into a Saturday game at West Virginia. And then coming up in hour number two, we'll have picks. I reached out to Anthony very early this morning to see if he could possibly do the show, and here we are at 2:02, nothing.
It's interesting.
Kid works a lot of hours.
I guess he does.
Works strange hours.
I don't know what his situation is.
He works
really.
Works late.
Works late, works early. I don't know.
No, he's fighting his way through.
That's what we all got to do. You do what you do, you got to do in this life, right?
Very few people can live independently well off like me.
Oh, is that right? Are you independent?
I am. I got to figure out a few things, but we're making our way.
Proud of you.
Well, are you really?
Sure. What are we talking about?
Somebody came to our building today and said, "How long are you going to do this?" And I said, "I don't know."
Is that their only reason for showing up?
No, that's part of the conversation. I said, I don't know. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
It's a mystery to me. I guess as long as I can, right?
Much of life is a mystery.
I don't really have anything. What do you got?
You don't have anything? We're just at the start of the show. You're going to have to come up with something.
Well, I got stuff. But
2 hours.
You didn't quite get what you wanted to get done there.
That's fine.
Looks like a beautiful day in Cleveland.
Got the top of the order coming up. We'll figure it out.
Well, there you go. As they go to the seventh. Royals last night. I guess they'll start there. This is all, the September baseball is amazing and has been forever because there are teams that completely fall apart in September throughout history. And then there are those teams that somehow find it.
Can't really predict it.
The Detroit Tigers have found it.
They're winning. They're playing extremely well.
With a bunch of guys that were in the minor leagues earlier in the year.
Yeah, and going into Kansas City at this time of the year in a big series like that and sweeping the Royals.
And beating their three main guys, right? I know Lugo and Reagans were the last two. I think Brady Singer.
Yeah, I'm not sure to be 100%
was the first
honest.
Game starter. No, Marsh. It was Lugo, Reagans, and Marsh.
Okay.
So they beat Marsh last night. But they swept that series. They're within a half game of the Twins. Twins got to have this. And on the flip side of catching fire, you got the Minnesota twins.
They're doing the opposite of that.
Who are sinking quickly.
Like a stone? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I was thinking of something more creative.
The Royals play today?
I don't go to the simple stuff. But I'll admit I couldn't come up with anything more creative. So I said quickly.
Sinking quickly.
But if I said sinking like a stone, half the audience... Ah,
well, what else sinks?
Well, that's a tried... That's not imaginative.
Well, neither is sinking quickly, to be honest.
Well, that's what I said.
Who
I couldn't come
today?
Up with
the
anything
Royals?
Better.
Do the Tigers play? What's going
Royals
on?
Royals don't play. Tigers don't play.
So they could be tied with Minnesota after the end
that's
of this
correct.
Game.
The Atlanta Braves do play, and they're leading big on Cincinnati. They're chasing the Mets for that last wild card spot. The Mets are at home against Philadelphia tonight.
I think Arizona's tied for that spot, too.
No.
Okay.
I don't think you're right.
All right.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm pretty sure the Mets and the Diamondbacks have the same record. So, I don't know.
I'd love to be able to tell you yes, but I think you're wrong.
I don't know. I really don't.
Well, then why'd you pop off?
Well, I thought that was the case, and I haven't paid as much attention to what's happening in the American League.
In the National League.
In the National League.
Could you be more?
I haven't been paying as much attention, but I'm pretty sure.
Right now you've got, in the National League wild card race, you've got the Phillies, Dodgers, and Brewers are leading the division. The Padres are a couple games up on Arizona and the Mets, who are tied, like I said.
Thank you.
Atlanta is
two back,
and they're really the only other team with a chance. So we'll see. That's how it looks in the National League.
Cardinals got one last night. You happy? Are they two over?
The only
now?
Reason I'm happy, and I much prefer it when they win, I'm much happier. The only reason I'm happy is because we're getting to see more of Thomas Sejesi, Jordan Walker, Ivan Herrera, although not enough. Herrera should be Pedro Pop. Give me a break. I can't wait for this season to be over and for them to get a real baseball person in this organization, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope it happens for you. Turn my game off
too. But Jordan Walker hit a ball last night, and he's not a finished product. Don't get me wrong here. He's still hitting below 200 for the whole season, but since he's been back up, he's hitting close to 275, 280 with some power. And he hit a ball last night with the bases loaded, 116 miles an hour.
That's impressive.
Your mic needs to be on when
that's impressive.
Why do you do that to your mic?
I just told you yesterday. I forgot to turn it back on after I drank water. I'm a forgetful person. It's alarming at worst.
I mean, I don't get it. I've never forgotten anything.
Never?
No, I don't forget.
You don't forget anything.
I don't think
that's true.
We had a group of people in our building today meeting, and one of the young women... I like to ask where people are from because I like to know that stuff. And she said she was from Fowler. And I said, home of the gold bugs or something like it. I think it's the gold bug.
It might be.
And she was just amazed that I knew that. And I asked her, who's the best football player to ever come out of Fowler High School? And she said, Dave Harris. And I said, you're exactly right. How'd you know that?
Why wouldn't she know that?
And
she's from there.
And she said, I used to date his son.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool? You know what little things you can pick up just by starting a little innocuous conversation? You ought to try it sometime.
Well, I'm not going to call you out, but I could.
Go ahead.
You don't like when people do that to you when they put you on the spot. And
put
you
me
say,
on the spot.
You just want to make me look bad, and you say all that stuff. So why would you put somebody
How
else on the spot?
How can you make somebody look bad by asking them where they're from?
No, by asking them who's the best football player to come out of Fowler.
Ask me.
Ask you what?
Anything, and I'll tell you.
All right. The name the two Spin Doctors hits.
No, I want you to ask me something personal.
And what album they came
that's
off
not,
of.
That's not comparable.
How is that
ask
not
me
comparable?
Personal.
You have
personal.
That CD.
I don't remember. Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Yeah, and, what's the other one?
Two-word thing. What's it called?
Two something.
Two
princes.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Now pocket ask, full of kryptonite, the
there
album.
You go. Paul, call me. Ask me something personal.
What does that mean, personal? Of course you're going to know the answer to
ask
a personal
me, where'd
question.
Where'd you go to, you know?
I don't understand what we're doing here.
Ask me where I went to high school.
Where'd you go to high school?
Yeah, Derby.
Okay, good job. I don't understand how that equates to.
Ask me about a high school memory of some.
All right, what do you mean?
Ask me something about
the
high
same,
school.
Why?
Because I just want you to.
No.
You never have.
So? I'm not that interested in your high school years.
Really?
Not really.
You know, I went and bought my dad's old yearbook online.
Yeah, you're welcome for that. I found that for you. You're welcome.
I've looked at that many times.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
You're not interested in my high school years?
That's from the 20s.
Well, I'm from the 70s.
70s, meh. This is 9 years before I was born. There's not that much interesting going on then.
Really?
I don't think so.
So there's nothing you want to know? Where we hung out?
No.
What we did?
Mm-mm.
Where we congregated?
We dragged Douglas. I know
no,
that's all.
I'm
that's
talking
all
about
ever
in Derby.
Did.
We had hangouts
I'm
in
sure
Derby.
I'm sure you dragged Madison.
We didn't drag.
Dragged Rock. I don't know what
we
you
hung
did.
Out at Pete's Taco Time.
Taco Time?
Pete's Taco Time.
I'm sure it's amazing.
They're in El Paso Village. It was phenomenal.
That sounds great. Sounds
and
unbelievable.
One of my Facebook friends recently posted on her page, the daughter of the owner, Pete Mendoza, posted a photo of Pete serving some people at Pete's Taco Time. Don't you think that's interesting?
Taco Time. That's funny.
Do you not think that's interesting? Would you want your daughter to think something about you is interesting?
If she does, she does. If she doesn't, she doesn't.
Do you tell her anything?
If she wants to know
would
stuff.
Would she know today where you went to high school?
Yes.
She would be able to tell that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
I've told her lots of stories.
I'm a little surprised you shared that information.
Well, I hope she would know.
How about middle school?
No, no chance.
You want to know where I went?
Derby.
Derby Junior High.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Want to know where I went to elementary school?
Derby. Elementary.
Pleasant View Elementary.
How many elementaries were in Derby back then?
At the start of my career, my education career, there were two, Pleasant View and Swaney. And then they added El Paso.
Do you have any friends at Swaney?
I didn't get across town that often.
Were they?
I was over on the south side of Derby.
Yeah.
I played baseball.
Weird how that worked back in the day. I didn't have any friends at other elementary schools outside of maybe some people I played sports with.
Yeah, that's how you got to know other people.
But most of my friends were at my school.
Sure. Duh.
It doesn't work that way anymore.
Why?
For kids have friends all over the place.
Social media, I guess.
Exactly.
That's why it's called social media.
If you want to call it that.
Well, I mean, there's some good aspects of social media.
Couple.
Yesterday, all the J.D. Souther tributes were very good, and I enjoyed them enormously.
Even mine?
I'm talking about the people who knew him.
I get it.
And I enjoyed reading those and some video clips that were put up. It was enjoyable. That's when X or Twitter, that's when it stands out.
Well, you got to go and try to appreciate those people while they're still here.
Well, I do.
Good.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying, you know, it's sad. You don't want it to be a sad occasion after somebody dies and you see these clips.
Well, but nobody's posting about J.D. Souther before he passed away.
Well, they should be. That's what I'm saying.
What do you mean they should be? I'm sure there were people, but when somebody passes away, throughout the annals of time, you have the acknowledgement and the respect.
It's weird.
That's why they have eulogies at funerals. That's the way it happens.
Before I found
it's
out.
It's too bad that those people who have passed away don't get to hear it. They get to they don't get to hear it.
Right.
So maybe tell them before they're gone.
So I
would you like to do that with me right now?
I thought I have.
Not really.
It's weird. I was on a it was the day of, but before we found out, because we found out the following day, the following morning, that J.D. Souther had
it's
passed.
Not you're disrespecting it.
I don't believe that it is Souther.
You're disrespecting.
I think S O U T H is South.
Did you not watch all the videos that pronounced his name? Yes. Did you not do that? I mean, there's
I played
one,
you a Glenn Frey one where he says South.
There's not one. No, he didn't.
To me, he did. J.D. Souther.
Duda didn't believe it.
Yeah, Duda's. Anyway, I was on a big New Kid in Town kick that day, which is ironic, I guess.
Good. J.D. Souther co-wrote that song for the Eagles. And there you go. But I mean, let's get it right. Let's get it straight. Let's be factual.
I still will go to my grave thinking it's Souther.
I don't think you will.
Souther.
Listen, the Eagles will pay tribute to him. Listen to what they say.
Tomorrow.
They're not, Don Henley's not going to get up there. My buddy J.D. Souther. No. It's just not going to happen.
Well, we'll find out, except I don't think I will.
Why?
I'm not sure I'm going to seek anything out. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, you will.
I don't know what I'm going to do. This is a different ballgame for
me.
Well,
I just saw Leonard had called and hung up. Leonard, my apologies. I didn't check my phone.
That's on us, Leonard.
Leonard, if you want to give us a call right back, we're ready. We're ready to go.
I think it was Skinnerd.
Don't be an idiot.
Well, Skinnerd's name is Leonard.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yes.
Lenny?
It's Leonard.
Lynn?
Yeah.
We haven't heard from Skinnerd in forever.
Maybe now that I've outed him, he'll call.
We haven't heard from KU Pat, and nope. That bothers me some.
Yeah, especially.
That one bothers me.
Especially, he didn't call yesterday when Duda was here. What's the deal?
No, it's not about Duda. It's
but he
about,
usually does call when Duda's here.
It's about, he hasn't called us since football season started.
Well, we hope he's okay.
That's always where I go.
I don't want to think too darkly, but yeah, you just hope he's okay. I feel like we would have found out if he wasn't.
I get emails from him quite often. I haven't gotten one of those in a while.
Well, that's not good.
I don't know. So if anybody knows about KU Pat, or KU Pat, if you're listening, and you've been one of our most loyal listeners, just to ease our minds.
Just give us a call.
Be good to hear from you.
Exactly.
Say that again, Andrew. It is Leonard Skinnerd. Hello, Skinnerd.
How do? So that's Andy answering the phone.
Andrew, yeah.
Well, if you're going to call me Leonard, you know, so.
He probably doesn't know you.
Did he object to you calling yourself Skinnerd? What's going on?
No, I'm not getting into that guy's mind. Okay, some of us are out here toiling, and I have no time to waste while cutting corn. But you brought up Dave Harris, Bob. What KU track athlete did he marry? Who did he marry? If you need a clue, I'll give you one. Would you like a clue?
I can't. Yeah, I won't be able to think of it, but I know I can see her.
She was a hurdler from Norwich. She was a hurdler from Norwich.
Yeah, give me her name.
Her name.
I'm not going to be able to.
Her first name and last name both begin with L. And you told me that you're not losing your memory. We all are. Lisa Lowry.
Give me her name, Skinnerd. There you go,
Lisa Lowry.
Yeah,
hey, you guys. Okay, I'm giving you one report about KU Pat. Him and I both called another sports talk radio station the other morning. And I was first, and he followed up. So,
wow, what are you guys doing?
He's still full of his KU stuff, but, you know, he cries every year that he's given up his season tickets. I don't know.
What are you doing?
Yeah, why are you calling other stations?
What's that all about?
Well,
there
why are there other stations?
That's a great question.
Because I like to be a thorn, okay?
All right, Skinner, thank you. We appreciate it.
We'll see you.
We have to take a break. We got to get
whose disloyalty are you more alarmed by in that situation?
I don't like disloyalty. Tyson Byerly, the head football coach at Heston, joins us. Heston 2-0. They've beaten Halstead and Hoisington. They have Hillsboro this week. Then they run out of teams, towns that start with the letter H.
It's crazy.
Hey, Tyson, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing well. We like to reach out to coaches we haven't talked to before. You're off to a good start, 2-0. You play in a very solid league, the Central Kansas League. You have maybe your arch rival. I think that's fair to say. Hillsboro coming up this week at home. How are things looking?
Yeah, things are rolling pretty well over here. You're right with the H towns. We kind of got a battle of H towns going on right now. So, yeah, I mean, you could argue whether it's Halstead or Hillsboro as our main rivalry. It's kind of just who we're playing next, really, when it comes down to those guys.
You've won a couple of close games, and that kind of started for you last year, kind of in the second half of last year. You were pulling those games out that were closer. What's been maybe the difference since then, and how has it kind of carried over to this year, and what's the difference in those games between winning them and coming up short?
Yeah, you saw it last year about midway through the season. We really just kind of started to click a little bit. Guys started to fulfill some roles last year that were new. You know, took them a couple games to kind of get going, and then you know, they got comfortable, they gained the confidence, and that has carried over through our offseason. And the difference is this year is not that we didn't expect to win last year, but it's just a whole different mentality with these guys. We returned 37 guys from the roster from last year that gained that experience, that gained that confidence. And I mean, the offseason workouts, it was just a different feel. The beginning of camp was a different feel. And our guys come out, they're not panicking at all. They expect to win. I mean, last week we were down 10-0 after 5 offensive snaps because of turnovers. And I never felt that our confidence was wavering. I never felt that we had an issue or anything like that. I just saw guys like rally and say, hey, all right, let's go. Let's get after it. And that's what they've done.
Tyson Byerly is our guest. He's the head football coach at Heston and has been doing that for quite a while. So what is it about that community, Tyson? Tell us a little bit about your background. Are you a native Heston person? Hestonian, is that what we call them? Tell us about your background.
Yeah, I'm not from Heston. In fact, I grew up not liking Heston because I grew up in Nickerson. So we always played them, and I think maybe in one game in high school we beat them. Maybe my sophomore year, I'd have to look back again. But in football, we never beat them in basketball, and they didn't have baseball back then. So yeah, I grew up in Nickerson, very familiar with the area, very familiar with a lot of the coaches that have been around for a long time. My dad was a girls basketball coach, so I kind of lived that life, knowing what that took, and just kind of took on to teaching and coaching and following kind of his footsteps. But I was at Sterling for 10 years, actually. That was my first job, and then came over here. This is my 8th year now at Heston.
I'm interested in your quarterback. He's a sophomore, Jarek Humphreys. He got into a game last year, so he did get a little bit of experience as a freshman. How is he as a leader? I know he's a three-sport athlete as well, so tell us about him a little bit.
Yeah, I can't say enough about Jarek Humphreys. You know, he kind of got the opportunity because our senior got hurt. You know, Reed Friesen was leading us last year, doing a great job, and he gets hurt on the very first Saturday of practice that we had on the very last play. Just kind of a sickening situation, just a freak accident. And he goes down and is going to be gone for the year. So, you know, Jarek, as a sophomore, I've told a lot of people this, Jarek as a sophomore is the most advanced sophomore in the system that we've ever had, that I've ever had as a coach. We've done a lot to merge our middle school and high school programs and staffs over the last couple of years. So Jarek has been in the system since 7th grade. And, I mean, you can tell as a sophomore, he's reading things, he's seeing things that other sophomore quarterbacks have not been able to do. And he's done a phenomenal job stepping in, you know, in that class, in his sophomore class. If you ask who the leader is, everybody knows it's Jarek. I mean, they're going to say it's him in any sport. You said he was a three-sport athlete. Yeah, in any sport, he's going to have the ball in his hands at the end of the game when you want it. And he's done a tremendous job leading, stepping in, and making some really big throws and big reads. And it's fun seeing a kid like that who's doing things the right way. He gets an opportunity, and, man, he's rolling with it right now.
Tyson Bowerly is our guest. He's a head football coach at Heston. Heston 2-0 facing Hillsboro in Heston on Friday night, tomorrow night. So I'm always curious to talk to coaches that I've talked to for the first time, and you fall into that category. In 3A, you've got Andale, which is just traditionally crazy. Cheney has Shelby Werman has built a juggernaut in Cheney. Mm-hmm. You've got Wichita Collegiate, which is always very solid. You've got three really tried and true programs that do it about every year. When you're the head coach at Heston, are you trying to get to that level, or are you just trying to get to the highest level you can get to?
No, we have our sights on those guys right there. And our off-season studies as a staff, our adjustments that we make, our summer training. I mean, everything is not let's go beat, you know, that 7-3 team. It's let's go beat that team that's undefeated. Let's go beat that team that's been up there for years. Yeah, that's what we're after. That's what our kids are after this year too. And it's been fun to see that.
That makes it more fun. That makes it more fun for everybody, right? If you you look at those schools and you look at those programs, and I'm sure you feel like I do that, man, what they've built there is incredible. But let's try to join them, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, we've got 11 seniors on the roster coming into this year. They've recognized, you know, their high school careers. We've been 19-19, and they've all said, you know, that's not good enough. That's not where it's not what we're after. That's not why we work so hard. That's not what we're doing. And guys like Carter Gonzalez, who's leading the way, who's being the voice of the team, and it's like, man, it's. Yeah, we're rolling with you guys. You guys have the high expectations. We've talked about expecting more from yourself, and they've done that. And, yeah, it's like you said, that's what we're after, and that's what we're going for.
So assuming you can tell Hillsboro apart from all the other eight schools that you've been playing, how big is this rivalry? How much do you kind of circle this one? You've won the last couple games in this rivalry that last year was a really close game. So how much do you guys get amped up for this one?
Yeah, we'll be amped up for this one. It's always a great matchup in any sport, really, with these guys because, I mean, we're so close. Everybody knows each other. It's interesting how many Hillsboro families are in Heston and how many Heston families are now in Hillsboro. You know, it's just kind of growing up in different places and moving towns. But, yeah, we've had a lot of close games over the last couple of years. A lot of, like, those games where just weird stuff happens, you know, it's like, you know, whether it's trick plays or, you know, weird turnovers or, you know, whatever it is, but there's been a lot of those over the last couple of years. So, you know, we were up big last year early, it was 25-7. And then we just couldn't hang on. We couldn't do anything right the second half. And they kept on plugging away and came down to a late interception for us to seal the deal. So we're going to be ready. They're going to be ready. It's our first home game. It'll be nice to finally play at Hobbs Stadium. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good environment.
Tyson Bowerly with us. You mentioned you're from Nickerson. That's your opponent a week from tomorrow. How many times have you coached against your alma mater, and you have a good record in those games?
I believe it's twice. And now Mike Vernon, who's now at Hutch, was the last head coach that had faced over there. And he had Nickerson rolling for a couple of years before he went to Hutch. And they've got us, I believe. I believe I'm 0-2 against them. So I'm looking forward to facing them. It'll be fun. I've got family still over there. My nephew is actually a linebacker on the team, so it'll be fun to face them.
That will be fun. Well, it's really good to get to know you. You're off to a very good start. We like it when we have schools to talk about that maybe we don't traditionally get to very often. Tyson, thank you so much. Best of luck Friday night and throughout the rest of the season.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about my guys.
You bet. Tyson Bowerly from Heston High School.
2-0.
It's a nice community down over in Heston.
I enjoy Heston.
When's the last time you went there?
Oh, it's been a long time, but...
Did you ever cover a game there?
Covered games, tennis, a lot of stuff in Heston.
I'm not sure I ever did cover a game in Heston.
Really? I like their football
stadium.
Seems
like I did. It seems like I remember maybe Heston being a place where it was difficult to get out of the stadium after a game because they may have locked me in.
That's a problem.
I don't know why that comes to mind. I'm not at all sure of that.
Why would they have locked you in? What were you doing out there?
Well, you take a little, you know, I mean, I was pretty fast on deadline, but sometimes the maintenance people don't want to hang around.
If I handed you one of those little, what were those things
even called? Radio Shack, whatever they were.
Would you know how to start a story?
What do you mean?
Like, you got to type in a little code thing.
No. What do you mean?
You got to type in, like, the slug and stuff.
No, I've forgotten all that. You had to go bracket, left bracket, SL, space, something.
That's story, all I think that was your story name at that point. I don't remember the rest.
There was a space between the SL.
Yeah.
And the whatever you typed in next.
And then it was, like, ET at the end.
Something like that. It was three letters.
Do you remember the 1-800 number to get to the...
Yeah, 800-825-6397.
Yeah, that's correct. Do you remember?
There's all kinds of stuff.
Do you remember
in
your
my
number?
800-268.
No, not 800.
316-268. What was it?
6597.
Yeah, it was. I put it out on Facebook yesterday. I was driving home and stuck in traffic and just... trying to let's sing a song, and I started singing Some Kind of Wonderful, and I
that's
didn't
the one you picked.
Yeah, I don't know why. Tell me why.
I don't know.
What is the brain? I didn't even remember picking it.
I often wake up with songs in my head because they were in my dreams.
This one, I don't think this was the case.
No subconscious.
And I had no idea. That I knew all the words to it.
Do you? Did you sing it straight through?
Straight through.
I mean, how does that song start?
Tell me.
I'm asking you.
Seriously, this may have been a moment where it just all came together.
I don't need.
Yeah, I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big, fast car.
Fine car.
I got everything that a man could need. I got more than I could ask for.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was good.
Was it?
That wasn't bad.
Man, if you knew all these words, I'd be... No, there's no chance. But I believe that you knew how to... There's so many words
no,
in
I
this
No, I sang
song.
It straight through.
There's no way.
I did.
There's no way. Look how long this song is. I mean, it just goes on forever.
I don't need to stay out at night. I got me a sweet loving woman, and she knows just how to treat me right. Oh, my baby, she's all right. Oh, my
baby.
Can
we go to break? Don't we have somebody else
clean out
to talk
to? We'll take a break. Now, that was good.
Was it?
Yes. I think so.
It's interesting.
Of course, I
have a different word for it, but...
What do you mean?
Nothing.
You didn't like it?
Oh, I loved it.
I wonder if my wife liked it. She's my ultimate test.
Yeah, she would always say if she doesn't like something.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
All right, we're going to talk some Kansas football here with Matt Tate, longtime KU beat writer, been around the KU programs for many, many years, currently with Wave the Wheat. And hello, Matt.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. So there's been a lot of alarms going off around KU football, and I'm going to try to quell the panic. With this statement, none of these losses, and they've lost consecutive games to Illinois and UNLV, were inside the Big 12, obviously. That first Big 12 game is this Saturday morning at West Virginia. And they drew maybe the weakest Big 12 schedule of any team in the Big 12. So given all that, what's the feeling about KU right now?
Well, it definitely depends on who you ask. And I think you have to throw that out there like you just did, because with conference realignment, who knows who's in what conference anymore. So I'm glad you clarified that. But yeah, it depends on who you ask. Look, the fans are freaking out. There's no, you know, not all of them, of course. It might be a vocal minority kind of thing, but that tends to be the loudest and most representative group of any fan base. And they're definitely panicked, especially in the aftermath of last week's loss to UNLV. You know, they wanted Jalen Daniels benched. They wanted Jeff Grimes' head on a plate, and anything less than that wasn't going to be good enough for them. Maybe they've calmed down a little in the days since, but they are still very, very panicked, and I think it's understandable because that's what fans do. But what's funny to me is you just pointed out exactly what everybody is and with reasonable thinking should be focused on, and that's the fact that nothing's really lost yet. They win the next 9 games, it's still one of the best seasons in school history. Maybe they don't think they're going to win the next 9 games because of the way the last 2 went, but I wouldn't put it past this team at all. It's still a talented team. If anything, they're more eyes wide open and awake and locked in than ever right now because of what happened in the last 2 games. And, you know, they just have to play better. But the talent is there. The schedule is there. And how quickly we forget, gentlemen, if they go, let's say they drop a couple more and they finish this season 8-4. You know, in the eyes of a lot of fans, that's going to be a really disappointing outcome. And I promise you that over the last 15 years, 8-4 wasn't even anything people could realistically talk about. So, like I said, how quickly we forget how bad it was and also how far they've come. So, you know, they got to go one game at a time. It's cliche as heck, but that's what they have to do. If they do that, build a little momentum, then yeah, they could absolutely still be a contender in the Big 12. And you know, it has to start with better quarterback play. And if they get that, I think they would have won both of the games they lost. So it's very much all still in front of them.
What is fair to expect from Jalen Daniels? We know how talented he is. We know how well that he's played in the past, but he's had 2 pretty significant injuries, and no matter how talented you are, or young, or in shape, that can take a toll on your body. We know he's probably still knocking off some rust. So is it as simple as, hey, good quarterback play, and they're in these games, or they win these games, or is that maybe a tougher task to come by over the first month or two of the season?
Well, you know, yeah, it definitely is, and again, the fans are heavily critical of offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes right now. But the bottom line is, if Jalen didn't throw it to the other team as much, nobody's even talking about Grimes today. So Lance Leipold has gone out of his way to make sure people understand this isn't on one kid, it's not on one person, it's the mistakes and the 1-2 start. No one single person is to blame for that, and it's also not on one person to, you know, bounce back or elevate themselves from that. So that's good coaching. That's how you have to look at it. But there's no doubt that the quarterback play has to be better. And you know, Jalen's competitive and he's tough and he's been through a lot mentally, physically too. I've talked to a few of his teammates this week and I can tell you for sure that those guys aren't worried about him in the least bit. I mean, they believe he is the dynamic, explosive, efficient, talented quarterback that we all believe he is and that we've seen him to be at times in the past. But I think what's so important, and you talked about the rust, you know, everyone knows he missed a lot of last year and a chunk of the season before, but I did the math. I mean, he only played a half in the opener this year because they were rolling over Lindenwood, and so he played the first half and that was good enough. So if you treat that as a half game, he's played 6.5 games in the last 22 months. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just really, really hard to ask anybody to be at their best when you've played that little in that big chunk of time like that. I mean, it is a process. It is something that he's going to have to work through. And you know, if he hadn't thrown those interceptions, maybe he'd be there right now. But I think there's definitely, it appears that there's definitely a part of him that you know, he's questioning himself. He's doubting himself, and he's a really, really confident kid. So I'm sure that makes him feel pretty uncomfortable. And he's saying all the right things, and he's trying to, you know, talk like he's not questioning it or concerned about his own ability and all that. And that's what good players do and what leaders do and all that stuff. But, you know, inside his head, there's it's just human nature that you have to think he's probably a little bit concerned or shy or whatever it is about, hey, am I still the same guy? And it could be subconscious thoughts, or it could be, you know, banging on the front of his brain or whatever it is. But either way, you know, he's got to find a way to get some rhythm going. And, you know, he's shown moments. He's had some really good throws, and he's had some really good drives, and he ran a couple of touchdowns in and looked good doing that last week. But he just hasn't found that rhythm yet and hasn't been able to sustain it. And then that one mistake comes, and it kind of two steps forward, one step back type of thing, you know. So there's no doubt that he has it in him. And it's also very possible that it could take some time.
Matt Tate, our guest, he writes about KU athletics for R1S1Sports.com, Wave the Wheat. That's row one, seat one. How are you enjoying this new gig? And then I want to ask you on the second on the second part of that, Jeff Grimes has an incredible resume. I know KU fans would like to have a word with him at the moment, but this nobody expected this stuff. It's crazy what's happened with Kansas out of the chute. And when I said that they still have opportunities, they don't play Utah, they don't play Oklahoma State, they don't play Arizona, and they don't play UCF. In this crazy jumbled new world of college football conference alignment, so they're missing some of the big ones.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and you know, this week's big because right now there's no room for error. I think that's what the two losses has done. It hasn't hurt them in the Big 12 standings or in their goal of competing for a Big 12 title, but they just can't take any more losses right now for the mentality and the fragile nature of the program right now. I mean, one more would bring some more questions and some more fan scrutiny and all that stuff, right? So this week is huge, and it's on the road, and that's obviously always tougher. So big game there, but you're right, the schedule is very favorable, and that's why the expectations were so high. I mean, it's a good football team, but it's also a good football team that faces a really favorable schedule, and that's why you had people talking about Big 12 title and college football playoff and not just, you know, people around here, but some of the national, you know, college analysts were talking about it too. So, you know, it happens. Nobody saw it coming, but it's definitely about what they do from here and how they respond to it. And Lance Leipold's built to coach players and teams to respond to this kind of stuff. And these guys have been, you know, a true reflection of what he's all about, really almost since day one. So I think they're up for the challenge of responding, and we get to find out Saturday. But to answer your first question, I really enjoy the new gig. You know, it was 20 plus years at the Journal World here in Lawrence, and you know, chasing down every possible news angle and being a true beat guy and trying to break stories and trying to find out, you know, what happened and reading arrest reports and all kinds of things that the job entailed. And this one's much more feature oriented. This one's a lot more about just tell the stories of who these kids are and what makes them tick and you know, their experiences as Kansas athletes. So it's allowed me to do some really cool stuff and some different stuff than I was doing for the past 20 years. And for that, I've really enjoyed it. And I've really enjoyed it when there's been some breaking news that I don't have to even react to, really. If I want to do anything with it, I can kind of do an analysis or a column type reaction to it. But I certainly don't have to get it up before everybody else. And I'm not in the rat race there anymore. So for that reason and for more time with my family, I'm enjoying the heck out of it. So I appreciate you asking.
Who are you? Adrian Wojnarowski, for crying out loud? That's exactly some of the reasons he gave for his
bombshell
decision.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
And go hey, Matt, figure, in this world we live in, he got torn apart for it. Oh, don't be so dramatic. Yeah. You know, no, it's a real thing. That bit he said about, or Adam Schefter said about the phone in the shower to see a text coming through the glass doors. You know, you've probably been there. I know I've been there, and it's a real thing. So it's been a nice change of pace, and I'm enjoying it. And there's a lot of great stories to be told at KU, and not just with football and basketball. That's one of my favorite parts. You know, I'm telling stories about golfers and soccer players and volleyball, and you know, we're really trying to hit all the programs and all the athletes because they all have their own unique story, and some of them are pretty incredible. So I've really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. KU again on the road at West Virginia, 11 o'clock kickoff coming up Saturday. Matt Tate has been our guest. Matt, thank you.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me, and don't be a stranger. I'm ready anytime.
All right. We definitely will. All right. There you go. A little KU update with Matt Tate.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.